This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Monday, February 18th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News, and we'll have a look at the AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, a look at today's news. The girlfriend of the man who killed five people and himself at Northern Illinois University says he called her early on Valentine's Day, the day of the shooting, to say goodbye. Jessica Beatty told CNN yesterday that Stephen Kazmierczak called her at midnight and told her not to forget about him. She says she had no indication he was planning anything. Investigators still haven't determined why Kazmierczak opened fire in a lecture hall at his and Beatty's alma mater, and she shed no light on a motive. She said he was anything but a monster and was probably the nicest, most caring person ever. The day of the shooting, or the day after, Beatty received a package from Kazmierczak containing two textbooks, a cell phone, and what she characterized as a goodbye note. School officials say that although classes at Northern Illinois University have been canceled until February 25th, instructors will be back today for training on how to help reacclimate students after last week's fatal shootings. Because of the campus closing, a week will be added to the end of the academic calendar, and commencement has been pushed back a week to May 17th. Meanwhile, the first funeral services are being held today for victims of last week's shooting rampage at NIU. Today's services are for 20-year-old Catalina Garcia of Cicero and 19-year-old Ryan Mace of Carpentersville. At least six people remain hospitalized in the wake of Thursday's shooting rampage. Three of them are still listed in serious condition at hospitals in Downers Grove, Rockford, and Chicago. Three others are in fair condition, including a 20-year-old who underwent surgery on her arm Friday at Kishwaukee Community Hospital in DeKalb. A spokeswoman for Advocate Good Samaritan Hospital in Downers Grove says a seventh patient was transferred from that facility after being upgraded from serious to fair condition Saturday. She did not say where the man was taken. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin says he wants Union Pacific, the company that owns the railway track lines in Illinois, to make millions of dollars in infrastructure improvements. Kavita Cardoza has more.
Durbin says while the state ridership for Amtrak was up by almost 60% last year, over half the time the trains were delayed. He says close to 20% of the time the trains were late by over an hour. Durbin says there are tracks between the Chicago-St. Louis route that are rusty, signals that don't work, and wiring that needs to be improved. Also, he says, freight trains need to be scheduled better so they don't interfere with passenger trains. Durbin says he's spoken to the company chairman about their obligations under the law, but Durbin says he doesn't want this to get to the courts.
Cases involving railroads go on forever. And I don't want to get to that point where we're talking about litigation and going to court, because I can just tell you, by the time the problem's solved, people will wonder what the question was.
Durbin says any federal dollars should be spent on improving the trains, not the railroad tracks. I'm Kavita Cardoza.
An Indiana Senate committee could vote as early as tomorrow on one version of a property tax reform bill proposed by Governor Mitch Daniels. Daniels says the caps for homeowners and other property owners would benefit taxpayers, but intensified warnings from many educators and local officials that the caps would lead to big cuts for some schools and services, such as public safety, have some lawmakers, primarily House Democrats, now questioning whether taxpayers really would come out first. House Minority Leader Brian Bosma suggests that the red flags House Democrat leaders are now waving are signs they're backing away from the caps and significant property tax relief. Daniel says he's trying to do what he can to try to preserve the proposed caps. A former state lawmaker is up for a return engagement with the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit Board. The Champaign County Board votes this Thursday on the appointment of Urbana Republican Tom Burns to the panel that oversees bus service in the Champaign-Urbana area. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Before his stint in the Illinois House, Burns served in the Champaign-Urbana MTD Board for 10 years, from 1976 to 86, including a period as chairman. He says he looks forward to serving again, but declines comment on recent MTD controversies, such as its legal battle with the Champaign Southwest Mass Transit District, which was formed in an effort to block the CUMTD's expansion plans.
Haven't even been in the conversations for the last 22 years, so I don't know that I have the specific details and the involvement what's taken on, but I'd like to look at it intelligently and thoughtful and see what's proceeding and what's a good solution for all of the community, including the current mass transit district and perhaps those citizens in the southwest part of the area.
One CUMTD critic says she welcomes Tom Burns' return to the board. Savoy Village trustee Joan Dykstra has fought a proposed limited annexation agreement with the MTD, but she calls Burns a friend and thinks he'll be a great asset to the Mass Transit Board. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright is this year's Knox College commencement speaker. Her appearance follows three other high-profile commencement addresses for the small Galesburg school. In the previous 3 years, they've had U.S. Senator Barack Obama, comedian Stephen Colbert, and former President Bill Clinton. Knox College President Roger Taylor attributed the school's success in drawing high-profile speakers to its students' high ambitions and expectations. Taylor says they always ask for speakers of great accomplishment. Albright, the first female Secretary of State, will be given an honorary doctorate degree from the school when she speaks on June 7th. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. When a tragedy like that on the Northern Illinois University campus occurs, many are quick to ask the question, why? But the answer is elusive. Commentator Amy Guida explains one legal response in this week's Legal Issues in the News.
The internet was abuzz within about 2 hours of the shooting at Northern Illinois University last Thursday. We didn't yet know anything, aside from the sketchiest details about the shooting itself. But when one poster asked the seemingly rhetorical question, why, others were quick to offer answers. Key among them, a society that glamorizes violence in film, in song, and in video games. As I write this, the investigation continues, and no one in authority has yet dared to answer the why question absolutely. Those in charge have said only that the shooter had stopped taking medication and that his actions had become erratic. But it's revealing how quickly some rush to link real life's devastating violence and incredible tragedy with pretend violence. After all, when one popular video game contains, according to one reviewer whose words were published in the Los Angeles Times, a scene where players can either save a possessed young girl or harvest her for more points, leaving her dead, it's not that difficult to understand where those opposed to fantasy violence are coming from. But the link between fantasy violence and real-life violence is, so far as the law is concerned, more fantasy than reality. Plaintiffs in the past have argued that song lyrics and movies and video games were to blame for episodes of real-life violence, but courts so far have resisted the connection. The facts are incredibly tragic, many still seared on our memories from headlines not so long ago. Some young people shot by a fellow student at a high school in Kentucky, a 13-year-old stabbed by a friend in Connecticut, a teacher killed at Columbine. In each case, surviving loved ones argued that the killers had been spurred to their crimes by exposure to fantasy violence. The theories range from negligence, that those who created the fantasy violence breached a duty they owed to the eventual victims, to strict products liability, that those who create violence should be held responsible for the defective condition of a dangerous product. But courts have found that the creators owe no duty to the unforeseeable victims of real-life crimes, and that there's no provable causation between the product and the ultimate tragedy. As for strict liability, ideas and thoughts aren't products, courts have held, so strict liability doesn't apply. And then there's the First Amendment defense, of course. To quote one court, "We are loath to hold that ideas and images can constitute the tools for a criminal act, or even to attach tort liability to the dissemination of ideas. Courts can regulate speech that's likely to incite immediate lawlessness, but so far they've held that this isn't that sort of thing." Faced with unspeakable tragedy, it's only natural to question whether our violence-saturated culture may be to blame. And yet, at least for now it seems, the answer to that question is not to be found in court. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. In the forecast for the region, windy and colder, a few breaks in the clouds and occasional flurries today, the temperature falling to the low 20s this afternoon. Mostly cloudy and windy with flurries early, then clearing overnight tonight, the low 10. Intervals of clouds and sunshine tomorrow, blustery, the wind around 20 miles per hour, the high 26. Mostly cloudy with a chance for light snow tomorrow night, the low 12. Mostly sunny, very cold Wednesday, the high around 20. And increasing clouds Wednesday evening with a low of 8 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, February 18th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.